Peloton Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer Martin. I'm a cycling rider with a passion for breaking down races and finding the why in particular outcomes. As a fan of analytics and more mainstream sports, I want to attempt to bring a measured, logic-based approach to the world of professional cycling, something I feel like it desperately needs. My goal for the Beyond the Peloton podcast and corresponding newsletter is to create quality, thoughtful content that thoroughly explores the why and how of the past so that we can glean a better and clearer view of the future. I feel like the mainstream cycling media doesn't do the fans the service they deserve in covering what exactly happened in races, why did that happen, and what is going to happen in the races to come. This is a chronic problem in the coverage of the sport, and here at Beyond the Peloton, we're going to attempt to reverse that trend and give you the knowledge to go forth as a smarter and more informed cycling fan. So on today's inaugural podcast, we're going to talk about a few things. First up, Chris Froome and where he stands with his team, Ineos, and his chances of winning and even appearing at the 2020 Tour de France. Next, we're going to go through the betting odds for the Tour de France contenders, see who's priced well, who's overpriced, and who you absolutely want to stay away from. Up top, Chris Froome, four-time winner of the Tour de France. He's on his bike. People assume he's going to be at the race. First off, say that's not an assumption I would make. I think his chances of appearing at the race are not as clear-cut as has been reported so far. Matt White, the director at Mitchelton Scott, recently said in a podcast that Dave Brailsford, the team director at Ineos, only cares about winning. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's why all this money is being spent. All these teams are traveling to races and racing. I mean, why else would you be doing it other than to win? That's their MO. They should absolutely do that. But he is ruthless in his team selection. He will not take Froome unless he thinks he is at a level to win, or he thinks Froome has bought into the team philosophy and can work for the team in a manner that another rider they have on staff cannot. I think that's where this gets complicated. They have such a deep squad. They have such a big payroll that it's really next man up. If Froome is not accept that he can't win the Tour this year, Brailsford is just going to take somebody else who's just going to ride on the front and not ask questions. Before we get too deep into that, let's just get into why Chris Froome cannot win the race this year. A lot of these cycling riders are talking about Froome winning the 2020 race like it's a possibility. This is, in my opinion, insane. This isn't going to happen, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, at the start of the 2020 Tour de France, he's going to be 35 years old. Only one other winner has been this age or older. Fermín Lambot, who won the race at 36 years, 4 months old in 1922, is the oldest winner of all time. So that's not I would not say that's a modern era cyclist. The oldest in the modern era is Cadel Evans. Back in 2011, he was 34 years old, 5 months at the finish line. So Froome's going to have to be, he's going to be nearly a full year older than Evans was, and a year younger than a guy back in the 20s. Make no mistake, the racing was not what it is then, what it is now. You have to be in a much higher level. This also means thoughts that he could continue to win, not only in 2020, but in 2021 and beyond, are a bit ridiculous. Sylvain Adams at Israel Startup Nation has signed him to reportedly a 5 million euro a year contract for up to 5 years. I think they're going to get a lot of great publicity out of that. I think it's, if he wants to spend his money that way, it's not a bad way to do it. He's going to get a lot of publicity, but he should make no mistakes. He's not going to have a Tour de France winner in Chris Froome. It's not going to happen. And what I have left out of all this is he nearly died in a crash last year. People forget about that. He crashed at the reconning a TT at the Dauphiné Libéré, suffered a compound fracture in his femur, a fractured neck. And I've seen reports where he lost 5 or 6 pints of blood. And an average man has 12 pints of blood in their body. So close to half of his blood. He was in the ICU for days. So the fact that he's even walking around period this year is amazing. The fact that he's riding a bike is incredible, but I don't think he can come back in a year and be at a tour winning level after those injuries. And I think he would have struggled to do it without the crash. Just as you get older, I think, you know, if we look at the data, every year over 32 years old, it's harder and harder to win the Tour de France. That's why it rarely happens. I feel like I'm a traitor to people in their 30s saying this. I want to believe that, hey, at 35, Froome's as strong as ever and he's going to go win the Tour. He's not going to do it. And let's look back a little bit. He hasn't won a bike race since 2018. the Giro d'Italia stage 19. It was an incredible win, but that's 2 years ago. That's 2 years ago at this point. And he hasn't won a Tour de France in 3 years, since 2017. And he was, make no mistake, he was on a decline before that crash. And this is no slight at him. That is totally natural. Riders decline as they get into their mid-30s. It happens to everybody. And I think it's funny that Alberto Contador comes out this week and says that he thinks Froome's going to be a Tour de France contender at Israel Startup Nation for the next 5 years. Well, Contador is the perfect example of this. He was not the rider he was in his late 20s and early 30s as he got into his mid-30s. That's why he'd go to the Tour every year and not win. So that's a perfect example right there of why Froome is not going to win the race this year or beyond this year. And I'm not the only one that thinks that. His technical director, I'm going to butcher this guy's name, Carsten Jepsen, or something like that, came out yesterday and seemed to be, I would think, managing expectations by saying Froome has, quote, a lot of work to do, and, quote, I'm not 100% sure that he will be so ready that he is where he needs to be to be able to win. A lot has happened since Froome won last. We have won the Tour with both Geraint and Egan, and Froome has grown older and has been subjected to a very, very serious crash last year. I think that's a great way to put that. I think that's also a little shocking that in a roundabout way talking to Froome through these quotes, but he's saying, hey, bud, we won in 2018 and 2019 without you. If you think you're going to come back to this lineup and think you're number one, that's not necessarily going to be the case. The team is stacked. And they have, not only do they have the 2018 and 2019 winner, but they have Pavel Sivakov, who is an up-and-coming, I believe like a Russian-French rider. He's, you know, races under a Russian flag. He has Russian citizenship, but he grew up in France, I believe. But this guy, he's 23 years old, absolute stud. He won the Tour of the Alps, which nobody has any idea what that race is, but it's a really hard race in the Dolomite region of Austria and Italy. And he actually got ninth overall at the Giro d'Italia last year. It's kind of an under-the-radar result. His main weakness is the time trial, but in the 2020 Tour, there is only 36 kilometers of time trialing. I mean, if you're not a time trialist, the Tour de France is the grand tour for you. I mean, they're reducing the TTs more and more every year there. In 2019, there was only 27 kilometers of individual time trialing. In 2018, there was 31. 2017, 37. And in 2015, it was only 14. I do have a theory that I'll go more in depth into this later in another pod and also companion newsletter, but that time trialing in the Tour de France is essentially just happening on the climbs, that there really are no more climbers anymore. The best riders in the climbs are Geraint Thomas, Primoz Roglic, Chris Froome when he's healthy, Tom Dumoulin, these small, you know, people. We like to romanticize the sport, and like a Marco Pantani is just, you know, drifting away from everyone. That's really not how the sport is raced anymore. And I feel like that's a big trap that a lot of journalists fall into. It's like, oh, it's a climber's race. No, it's not a climber's race. It's a, you know, if you are really fast at riding your bike by yourself, you'll be really fast riding your bike up a climb. I mean, and in France, a lot of these climbs are graded out a little bit, but even Tom Dumoulin at the Giro d'Italia in 2017, he was just chugging up those steep climbs. I mean, it's really, we'll get into this later, but it's a trap just to say, oh, it's a climber's race. But having said that, Pavel Sivakov is he's got a huge engine. He's an incredible rider. I actually have Strava files from a recent Team Sky altitude camp on
Tenerife.
And Sivakov put 9 minutes into Froome on a training climb that was roughly 90 minutes long. They actually gained 6,000 feet over 18 miles, which is ridiculous. That is, they were really, really hammering on this thing. They must have been doing close to 400 watts average for that whole thing. So this is a legit effort. Sivakov just crushed Froome, and even Dylan Van Baarle put 5 minutes into Froome. To me, this goes back to the technical director. Sky, no one has a better view under the hood here than Sky and the management there and the technical directors. If they're saying that he's not good enough, he's probably not good enough. They didn't even try to match the offer from Israel Startup Nation. So if the people privy to the data and owner of the product are saying this product's maybe not that good, maybe we should listen to them. No one knows better than them. And additionally, while we're on the topic of Ineos age and the Tour de France, Geraint Thomas is going to be 34 years old in three months at the start of the 2020 Tour in Nice. This, if he won this year, it would make him the fifth oldest Tour winner in the history of the race. So if we're just playing the averages here, he's not going to win. Froome doesn't stand a chance, and Thomas is not a likely winner. And again, this is just, we're just looking at the data and making a judgment. If you're going to put money on people, don't put money on these two riders. And actually, they're good to hedge against because they're popular names. They have big fan bases, and those fans will weight the odds and make them look like they're bigger favorites just looking at the betting boards than they actually are in real life. So there's a lot of good money to be made, you know, fading them and betting other riders, basically shorting the Thomases and the Froomes by betting Roglic or Egan Bernal or even Tadej Pogacar. But we'll get in that in a little more in the next section. But so this leaves us with who's the leader at Ineos. If we just look at, you know, the logical answer here, Egan Bernal won last year in a race that didn't even really suit him. He kind of struggled in the time trial. There were supposed to be two big mountain days, you know, to finish off the race. Half of the stage 19 got called off during his attack, by the way. And stage 20 was supposed to be a brutal mountain stage. They shortened it to, it was like a 50 kilometer all out effort up a not steep climb. So if he can win that, it's no doubt in my mind he can win this. He's a little inexperienced. So the things that I would count against him are he's a little inexperienced. You can never quite trust riders that young. And his team, you would think being on Ineos, it's a huge advantage. They're almost always exponentially the strongest team. But this year, I mean, Jumbo-Visma is coming in with an incredibly strong team. And Ineos, while they're bringing a lot of strong riders, you got to remember they're going to be compromised by splintered incentives. And they have three leaders of the race, which only leaves them five domestiques to help out. But this is the same as Jumbo-Visma, who also has three leaders. But I think a key difference here is that in 2019, Ineos really struggled with their domestiques. That's been their strength all through the run from Wiggins in 2012 to Thomas in 2018. Just incredibly deep bench, incredibly strong. They can burn everybody off on those climbs. They really crapped the bed in 2019. Dylan Van Baarle was incredible, and he really saved the day there. Without him, I think they would have been in big trouble. But Johnny Mascagne and Mikhail Kwiatkowski, both world-class riders, one literally a world champion, were absolutely horrible in 2019. They could barely ride their bikes. Like, people forget about that. They were terrible at the Tour de France. And if they can't get things right in 2020, they were going to really fail to control this race. So that's also something to keep an eye on. Having said that, I think Bernal he's the best rider on that team. And that team clearly knows how to win. So not a terrible pick. I would think that internally he's their leader. I think it's going to be really hard publicly to play those politics. And partly I think that's why you're getting these kind of strange comments out of their camp with the press release following Froome's departure. It was incredibly cold. And then also having a technical director talking openly about how he's maybe not in the best shape is also a signal that, you know, they might be trying to publicly shift the window of expectation towards Bernal being the leader. That leaves Geraint Thomas kind of squeezed in the middle. And it possibly leaves Froome at home. We'll see. I wouldn't be shocked if he's not at the race. I would keep an eye on that. Additionally, the let the road decide ethos, that doesn't work. I think Movistar has proven in the past, seems like 10 years, that's a terrible way to approach this race, bringing three riders and just hoping you can kind of fight it out and one of them's going to win. It's a proven way to lose the race and waste a lot of talent. And there's even a myriad of practical concerns that prevent this from working. You got to remember the order of rider bikes on the team cars designate who the favored rider is. So if you have three leaders, you know, someone's bike is on the outside. You're sending an implicit message that way that you're actually favoring someone else. The order of the riders on the mountain train. I think last year it was Bernal was always leading out Thomas, which, you know, gets a little awkward because either you drop your quote unquote leader behind you and ride for yourself because you're the stronger rider, or you kind of slow yourself down, hurt your own chances. And that compromises the team because if you can't pick one, you're kind of always stuck in this in-between world And you've really got to commit at this race, commit early to a leader. Normally, like a prologue start time, but also designated leader. If you remember this from the 2009 Monaco prologue, Lance went early and Alberto Contador went late. And that might have been a deliberate decision by Lance to get it out of the way and kind of take control of the narrative. But that team, it worked for them. Contador won that race. I think in 2009, he was probably one of the strongest riders of all time, so he could get away with it. But they actually, if you remember, they probably could have been first, second, and third with Armstrong and Clodin on the podium. They screwed that up with the infighting. So long story short, this could be a mess for Ineos. It wouldn't surprise me if Brailsford just nips us in the bud and only takes Thomas and Bernal. So let's get to some betting odds. I'm gonna use BetMGM because it's a website and app that works in Colorado, which is where I'm coming from. So it's easy for me to see the prices and lay some action down if I want to. But Egan Bernal is currently the huge favorite on the site. He's a plus 200, which means if you bet $100, you win $300. So you win a surplus of $200 on top of your bet. And even with the potential problems on his team and his unproven leadership status, these are pretty good odds for a rider of his talent and on a fairly strong team. At least on a bad day, they're a strong team. And he's already won the race and he wasn't the true leader in 2019. And he won the race with two big mountain stages pulled out from under him. And there's similarly few flat time trial kilometers this year. And I think that stage 20 time trial, I believe it's about 28 kilometers on the flat with close to an 8 kilometer climb to finish, steep climb. People are thinking that's going to be a climber's TT. It's not. I think Bernal is going to do well. He's not going to win. He's a pretty good time trialist on the flat. He can save a lot of time that way. Would be my favorite. He's currently the favorite on the betting sites. But I think even at those odds, he's a fairly good bet. And you got to also remember, instead of an early TT this year like we normally get, it's front loaded with some hills and mountains right from the gun. So on stage two, we're leaving Nice and we're circling the mountains, the mountainous region. And on stage four, we have a 7 kilometer summit finish. So right there, a rider like him, he could grab the yellow jersey. It forces his strong team to work for him. It neutralizes two riders and Thomas and Froome, who he might have to jockey with in a normal route, and gives him just outright leadership status right away, which would really help him. And the fact if his team is strong and they're working on the front for him on these hard days, it's going to neutralize a lot of the attacks. I would expect him to be coming out flying, trying to get the yellow jersey early. And that's his best shot at not dealing with team infighting and establishing himself as a leader is be the leader early. They can't stop you if you're in yellow. Another rider I feel good about on the betting odds is Primoz Roglic. He's a plus 500. He's a little bit of an unknown. He kind of crapped the bed a little bit at the 2019 Giro d'Italia, where I think he came in way too hot. He was flying in the weeks before that, flying in the first week and a half, just was totally running on fumes by the end. I think he really screwed up his training there. But if you saw it by the Vuelta a España at the end of the year, he really nailed that. He was the best rider on the climbs. He was the best rider in the time trial. He had a few tactical mistakes. He was misplaced later in the race on a kind of classic Grand Tour transition day with some wind and some corners and some rain, and he crashed. And he could have been in big trouble, but the race, they allowed him to draft off some team cars. Movistar attacked initially. I think they saw he was able to draft and they pulled back their attack, but it could have gotten hairy for him then. And that's his big weakness. He's not the best at managing the day-to-day of a Grand Tour, of just being in the right place at the right time. Having said that, the guy is an absolute animal on both climbs and time trialing. And in a race where it's won on climbs and time trialing, that's hard to argue with. He's a great pick. Keep an eye on him. And I think he's going to do really well in that stage 20 time trial. Additionally, his Slovenian countryman, Tadej Pogacar, no idea if that's how you say his name. Sorry if I'm bungling it. He's a plus 1600. He's only 21, which is really young. It's almost absurd to bet on a rider that young. You could argue that's a complete waste of money. But remember, Bernal was only 22 when he won last year's race. And Pogacar just won the Slovenian National Time Trial Championships from Primoz Roglic, who's one of the strongest time trialists in the world. Now, the route was a bit unorthodox. It started on a steep climb. I recently rode it, I thought it was one of the hardest climbs I'd ever done. It took me 30 minutes. Pogacar knocked that out in 18 minutes. So we know he's stronger than me. The first is started right from the gun on a climb and then was kind of a false flat for the next 15 or 16 minutes. But I mean, Roglic is good at that type of route as well. So certainly not a hollow victory. And he executed a mid-race bike change. After that steep climb, he changed from a road bike onto his time trial bike. And I believe he did that. I have to think he did that change as kind of a dry run for the change from the time trial bike to the climbing bike at the back end of the stage 20 time trial in the Tour de France this year. If he can execute it in a similar way, he's really going to do well. He's just an incredible talent. It blows my mind. History would tell me he's too young, but he's incredibly deft at handling the pack. He can climb, he can time trial. It'd be kind of silly to ignore him. If we look at some long shots, we have Nairo Quintana at plus 1200. Nairo, to me, always looks good. He's always someone you think he can win. He's a great, one of the best climbers in the modern peloton. It's been that way for years. But this guy is he's so unpredictable. You could lose a lot of money betting on Nairo. And it's saying this is the year of Nairo. 2017, this is the year he's going to get it done. 2018, this is the year. 2019, he left Movistar in incredibly toxic situation there with, I think if you, what they had a Netflix documentary and it was it seemed like some pseudo bullying. He never really meshed into the Spanish centric tapestry of that team. I think it was good for him to get out. And the way he left for Arkea Samsic, a small French team, and the way he was racing in the pre-COVID calendar this year, makes you think that, maybe that change is all it took. He was flying. He looked incredible early this year. The big caveat there is he was hit by a car recently. So you're hit by a car. He wasn't seriously injured, but he probably had to take at least 10 days. I would say 10 days off the bike, 5 weeks before the tour. That's not good, but it's a weird year. A lot could happen. You're betting $100 to win $1,300 on one of the best climbers in the peloton. Not terrible. So, and then Pavel Sivakov, you're thinking, what? There's no way this guy can win. But hear me out. He's a plus 30,000. Means you bet $100, you win 30,000 at $100. He struggles at time trialing. Not going to be a big issue this year, though. And if he can, it's possible he's pulling a bit of a Roglic last year at the Giro where he's a little too strong right now. But if he can keep riding the ways that these Team Ineos camps, the guy could be a real problem when we get to the tour. If he's not, I'll claim I never did this section. I never recommended you put any money on him. But for that price, it could be worth to think about just a little bit of money. That's a huge payoff for a guy that's incredibly strong and on a really good team. A lot of weird stuff would have to happen for him to win, though. So let's look at the overpriced riders. If Chris Froome, he's the second highest odds to win at plus 550, is exactly what I'm talking about. Second highest odds. So prevailing wisdom is this guy's got a shot to win. He absolutely does not. He will not win this race. That's a waste of money. Don't bet on him. Geraint Thomas, plus 900, fifth highest odds. I wouldn't say he can't win. He's probably not going to win. I think he's way overpriced there. Tom Dumoulin, Julian Alaphilippe, Stephen Kruijswijk, all pretty high up there. Dumoulin's a plus 1200. Alaphilippe is a plus 25. Kruijswijk's plus 33. Dumoulin, I love the guy personally. I think he's a class act. I think he always has an interesting interview after a stage, but I just don't think he has. These injuries the last few years, quotes he's been giving, I don't think, and he's on a stacked team. It's going to be incredibly difficult for him to win. He always seems to have a problem at some point in a three-week race. I wouldn't spend your money on him. Julian Alaphilippe, the people's champion. Everyone's going to hate me for saying he doesn't have a chance, but first of all, he couldn't win a Tour de France last year that he had an incredible lead in, and they basically canceled the last two mountain stages. So I would say his result from last year is actually a little bit inflated. If he couldn't win last year, he certainly can't win this year. And that was just lightning in a bottle. He had a great early season, went into the Tour with no pressure. No one expected him to win. I think that's just it's never going to happen again. It was great. We had a great time. We'll always have that. Let's move on. He's not a Tour de France contender. Another rider who podiumed last year, Stephen Kruijswijk. Everyone always talks about him like this is the race he's going to win. He's He's certainly not a Tour de France winner, and I could argue that he's probably not a Grand Tour winner, period. He's a very good rider. He got third at a somewhat depleted Tour last year. I think that's as best as it's going to get for him. Don't spend any money on this guy. We have Thibaut Pinot. I'm always down to bet on Thibaut Pinot. He's plus 800, but we got to put him in timeout after last year's Tour. I think he would have won that thing if he could have finished it. But what happens with Thibaut is third week, there's a vague issue and he's got to leave the race. If you remember the Giro in 2018, great showing, just kind of, yeah, he couldn't ride his bike suddenly with 2 days to go. If you remember the 2017 Giro, he's in great position before the final time trial in Milan. He suddenly can't really ride a bike and he loses minutes in a time trial he should be pretty good at. 2019 Tour, he had the thing won. And we get this vague knee injury. They claim that he hit his knee on a handlebar, but they were wrapping his knee mid-race, which if he had hurt his knee in previous stages, you'd think the wrap would already have been on. So it's unclear to me what happened there, but let's stay away from him for now. If he wins, I look like an idiot, but I love Thibaut more than anyone. He's one of my favorite riders. I couldn't in good conscience say that he's a favorite to win this race. Other notes are Simon Yates. I was shocked to see Simon Yates not going to this Tour. He was considered, if you remember, in the 2018 Giro, it was just like popping like a ping pong ball all through the first 2.5 weeks, just grabbing time bonuses, winning stages. This is the British rider of the future. He's only 25 years old. He's going to be winning Tour de France for the next 3 or 4 years. Fell apart in the third week of that Giro. He did win the Vuelta later that year, but I would have thought this is the route for him. There's only 36 kilometers of time trialing. You know, a significant portion of that is uphill. And he's going to the Giro that has three long time trials. That's a little strange to me. I think he's 27, so this might have been his best chance. If he was going to emerge as a Tour de France contender, this was the year. He's not even present at the race. That doesn't speak volumes to the confidence his team has in him. This has been the first Beyond the Peloton podcast. I'll be sending out a companion newsletter. Normally, it would include little clips from the races. The race will happen. I'll record this, breaking down the key points of the race, and then I'll send out a newsletter with some screen grabs and clips breaking down key portions and talking about, you know, what exactly happened in that race and what can we expect in the future because of it. For these non-racing editions, I'll send out screenshots from those, the Strava KOMs showing Sivakov and Froome, and some betting graphics as well, and links, and some a little bit more detail into those things. So if you want the newsletter, sign up at beyondthepeloton.substack.com. And you can sign up right there for the newsletter. Also, if you want to check out a little more of my writing, check out theouterline.com. I'm a partner on that publication venture, so all my recent writing will be over there. We also have a weekly column on Velo News on Wednesdays, so check that out too. Thanks for listening, and I hope we can emerge from this better informed and ready for the upcoming Tour de France, if it happens. Still not convinced this thing's going to go off, but if it does, we'll have a doozy on our hands. Bye. See you next week.